Our gospel lesson this evening comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. These will be very familiar words to most of us, but try to hear them again as if for the first time. What is being spoken through these ancient words to you today at this point on your faith journey? In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in a manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. 27. That's the number. 27. That's how many consecutive Christmas Eves I have spent with you here in this room. 27. That's a lot of Christmas Eves. But what's very strange about this particular Christmas Eve is the fact that I'm here, but you're not. I'm here alone in this cavernous, holy space. That's a strange feeling. It's like going to family reunion, no family shows up. Friends, a lot has happened over the course of the past 27 Christmas Eves. A lot has changed. A lot has changed over the past year. Wow. What has changed? 27 years. A lot has changed in 27. Think back at your life. What has changed over the past 27 years? A lot. But I tell you this, what has not changed is the fact that every year on the 24th of December, we gather in this place to tell the story. We gather in this room to tell the story. Our story, Luke 2, you just heard it. And even though this year our gathering is virtual in nature, you know, out of necessity, but also due to the embrace of the Wesleyan mantra, do no harm, you're here in my heart. You're here in my heart. We're still together as a great cloud of witnesses celebrating the miracle of Emmanuel, God with us. Now, of course, this compunction to gather on Christmas Eve dates back much further than 27 years. In fact, folks were gathering in this room on Christmas Eve for a quarter of a century before I even got here. And you know, they told the same story. And before that, they gathered there in the back from about 1903 to 1968, you know, where in a sanctuary the basketball court now stands. And they told the same story. And for six decades before that, they gathered, tradition says, across the street in a small home there. And they told the same story. And of course, it had been told across the world for 18 centuries even before that. It's December 24. And so we gather. And so we gather. We gather to tell the story. You know, at some point, generations ago, the church, uppercase C, decided that it would begin prefacing the telling of our story with a reading from an even older story. You know, a story that goes, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." What a great decision that proved to be. Because tonight, as we stop to tell the story, in a world swept by cynicism, in a world hunkered down because of a pandemic, in a world exhausted and weary, these ancient words from the prophet Isaiah remind us of who we are as a community. They remind us that we are people of the story, a story that continues to inspire hearts and motivate lives. A story of hope. A story that is a source of light in the midst of great darkness. A story that despite our feelings of inadequacy, is still able to shape and reshape our lives. Okay, question. Did you by chance make it by the church anytime during Advent and pick up one of those craft kits? You know, this year we didn't host our regular Advent workshop. We had a mobile one instead. And I hope you were able to participate, because that's when it all really started. That's when the season began in earnest, you know, with the crafts, with the prep. You know, oh, were you here to help us get this place decorated? You know, a whole slew of you were here. It was amazing. You know, we're hanging garland like you see back there, decorating the trees. Trees. Notice it was plural. At least three trees we have. More than that. Wreaths, lights, poinsettias. Go back and watch the hanging of the green service. You can see what was happening right here just a few weeks ago. You know, one day I pulled up the parking lot and out front, Bob Gallagher and Janine and Patrick were building this nativity scene, life-size nativity scene out front. It was amazing. You could just feel that something was about to happen. Something big was about to happen. And then over the last couple of weeks, we've had folks turn that scene into a live nativity by populating the scene. I hope you saw that. I hope you saw it. Now, of course, it hadn't been all rosy. You know, Santa didn't come for breakfast this year. He was practicing social distancing, which we're glad he was doing. Very responsible of Santa. As long as he shows up later tonight, all will be forgiven. But we'll see. We'll give him until next year to have breakfast then. But okay. How about the quiet Christmas service back on December 9? We gathered out front here. Some were gathered in chairs, all bundled up. Some were in their cars. It was a time during which we publicly acknowledged that not only does this season generate an elevated sense of joy for many, but it can also amplify an abiding sense of loss and loneliness for some. You know, the noise of the season can be overwhelming. So at the quiet Christmas service, we gathered for an alternative Advent experience, you know, during which a world of loss embraced a world of hope. A world of loss embraced the mystery of Emmanuel, you know. And this year, it seems to be most timely. You know, and through the miracle of technology, you can still watch that service too. You know, go to the YouTube channel, go to our virtual worship page on our website. You know, this past month, as I think about it, we also were the beneficiaries of just an abundance of great music. You know, so many of you came forward to offer this gift to your church. I mean, think about this. Kids, I hope you saw the kids. You know, they shared the Christmas story with us in their production of the musical Starry Night, I think Noisy Night. And if you didn't check that out, also, you can watch our recorded Christmas Eve family service and see the whole spectacular production. And of course, what about tonight? The music is beautiful, just beautiful. And there's more coming. Now, of course, our Advent wasn't just about what's going on around here. It wasn't just about us. No, once again, you reached out beyond these walls in a significant way. Once again, our young disciples, Sunday school class, you know, I think that's the fourth and fifth graders, they kicked off this season for us, you know, by collecting toys and donations to help make Christmas a bit brighter for some of our brothers and sisters down east in the state through the ministry of the Robeson County Christmas Store. This year, you donated literally thousands of dollars and toys. Thousands. Well, you do that every year. You do that every year. Last week in Congregational Care was distributing Christmas, you know, joy to folks, visiting folks who can't get out. And there was the Angel Tree for the Ark of Wake County, a very important ministry of our community. And there was, we had I think it's called a reverse Advent calendar, where each day there's an item like granola bars or potatoes or something like that, and you're supposed to collect it. And then at the end of the season, now you take it to your favorite food ministry place or bring it here and we will find that ministry for you, and on and on and on. Friends, the reason for my lengthy recitation tonight is to show that over the past 4 weeks, just 4 weeks, the story that we have become so adept at telling has in fact come alive through the lived narrative of our church family. Oh, and tonight, I almost forgot this, the offering that we make. You'll make it, you know, tonight, or you'll make it in the coming days, a very generous love offering like you do every single Christmas. And that offering will be used in the coming year to extend the touch of Christ by doing good in our community and beyond the community, in the world. And I could go on and on and on about how through your touch the story has been told and retold over the past few weeks, but suffice it to say that through your practice of generosity and mercy, darkness has been diminished in this community and in this world. Of course, we all know that there are plenty of examples to which we could all point where the church is failing in its mission. There are plenty of examples to which we could point at this time of year where we see examples of shallowness, superficiality, you know, just we can easily become cynical. Well, that's why we gather tonight. That's exactly why we gather tonight and why the community called Pleasant Grove has gathered every December 24th for the past 175 plus years. We gather to tell an ancient story that has the power to change lives. A story that despite the transient nature of our lives, despite the vicissitudes of our lives, despite the pandemic, continues to inspire folks to continue telling it. And they tell it not only in the narrative of a bygone age by reading Luke 2, no, but they tell it through the living of their lives. I guess that's really what I'm holding on to tonight. I guess. I'm holding on to something that grounds my life despite the tenuous nature of my existence and of my world. I'm holding on to a story that reminds me of who I am and maybe more importantly, what I'm called to be. A light shines in the darkness. You are the light of the world. A few years back, I told the story of a Christmas mishap at the Minnick House. You know, what happened was I was making my way up the stairs. My arms were full of stuff. I don't know exactly what happened, but I was about halfway up the stairs when one of the items near the bottom of my arm full of stuff began to shift. And in an effort to prevent that item from falling, I squeezed my arms together very quickly. And in doing so, I launched the top item out of my possession. And my attempt then to catch it only gave it more reason to basically depart. It came off the end of my finger and it fell in a perfect, classic, parabolic fashion. as it descended unimpeded for about maybe 8 to 10 feet before it struck a small table at the base of the stairs. And it wasn't just any small table. No, it was a table that held the family creche, you know, the nativity scene. The one I talked about, a couple of weeks ago, the one where Joseph is disguised as a king wearing a fez. Anyway, when the item in question made contact with the Holy Family, there was a bit of commotion, let's say. And lucky for me, Alana was home. That was really a very fortuitous event that she happened to be there and heard all of this. Anyway, she picked up right on. What was that? What was that? Oh, nothing, nothing. Why? Nothing. Now, that usually works, but not this time. She was too close, and my window of opportunity was too short. Before I could even move, she was on it. She was on it. I'll never forget what she said when she came upon the scene. Well, I won't share what she first said. I won't say that. No. But when she had settled down a bit, she made this most remarkable comment. She said, with a little bit of disdain in her voice, I will admit that, "You just knocked baby Jesus right out of the manger." Friends, that is the perfect Christmas line, isn't it? Alana nailed it. It's perfect. "You just knocked the baby Jesus right out of the manger." Friends, that's Christmas. That's the story. Disruption of the status quo, disruption of expectations, disruption of hopelessness. The birth of a child, the world gets another chance. The world gets to start over. Hope is restored because a birth represents not what is, but what could be. In other words, what would this world look like if we could start all over from scratch? While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger. That's why the angel, that's why the shepherds had to see it. That's why Luke had to tell it. In the soul of that newborn child lay the essence of what we all could be. "Sing to the Lord a new song. People who walked in darkness have seen a great light. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us." It's called hope. And it's gathered up in the meaning of this night. Emmanuel, God is with us. Merry Christmas. And thanks be to God. Amen.